everybody was searching for the next thing. And they would jump from one biohack to the next, one hormone therapy to the next, one peptide to the next, one solution to the next. And they were still searching. Even our new alternative medicine is still just pushing these different supplements or these different hacks. They're not treating the whole person. Right. I was like, man, there needs to be an awakening. It's not just about Brandon Lake. It's not just about Phil Wickham. It's about every single person, every mom, every dad, every pastor, every business owner, so that we can help you see yourself as God sees you. How do we steward our body? How do we not aim for optimization, but aim for capacity so we can carry the calling of our life? And then how do we use our health as worship? What does that look like so that we can ultimately heal God's way?
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett, and every week I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It's a delight to be here with you today. And I have a guest on that I haven't had on the show for 200 episodes. I know he was episode 48 back in the day. And now we're at 248, but he's a dear friend of mine and he's inspiring. And his name is Justin Rothling Schoffer. And he's had over, two decades of experience as a human performance expert and data-driven health strategist. Justin has dedicated his life to optimizing health and performance for leaders across various fields. Now, his journey took a pivotal turn when he was faced with a life-threatening wake-up call. He discovered that he might not live past the age of 35. That's right. This challenge ignited a personal transformation in his life, and it really led him to understand the health crisis that affects so many people, not just athletes. So Justin's mission is clear. He wants to empower individuals to take their ownership of their own health so they can fulfill their God-given purpose. And he founded what's called Own It Coaching Ecosystem, which has helped thousands and thousands unlock their fullest potential through personalized data and expert guidance. He is a sought-after speaker, USA Today best-selling author, and podcast host. Justin shifts the narrative around health from reactive care to proactive ownership. And his belief is really simple, yet it's profound. Healing and thriving are within reach, but they require us to live differently. So are you willing to live differently? I hope after listening to this podcast, you will be willing to shift your perspective on maybe the way in which you're living currently. So join us as we dive in today. His latest book is called Holy Health: Habits and Rhythms to Heal Your Body and Transform Your Health, and explore how we can all embark on a transformative health journey together. That's what this podcast is all about, and this show especially. So let's welcome Justin to the show. Enjoy. Well, welcome back to the Visibly Fit Podcast, Justin. It's great to see you, my friend.
Wendy, it's so good to be back with you. So good to see your face and hear your voice. And you and Todd are such a blessing. So it's so good to be here.
Yes, you and Elise, y'all are some of our faves. And I was looking back at the last time I had you on the show, and it was exactly 200 episodes ago. Isn't that bizarre?
It's wild. Maybe I guess I have to write a book every 200 episodes.
Every 200. There you go. There you go. That's so good. Well, I want us just to jump right in because that's it. You wrote a book called Holy Health: Habits and Rhythms to Heal Your Body and Transform Your Health. Let's just dive in. Like, what was the culprit for writing this book? I mean, you've written a book before, but you know, this is a different take on the book that you had before, which was remind me, The Power of Ownership.
Power of Ownership. This is actually book five. The first book was Intent. Second book was Blueprint. Then we went back and wrote consistency wins, and then power of ownership, and now this. And I think what is so beautiful about Holy Health is it is literally the collision course between science and scripture, where everything that we're trying to find in our world and try to make proven in our world through science, scripture is known forever. And the more that I got into this space, the more that Own It grew, the more that I started to speak at biohacking conferences like Dave Asprey's, Eudaimonia down here in Florida, like some of the biggest health and wellness spaces, I'd walk in and everybody was searching for the next thing. And they would jump from one biohack to the next, one hormone therapy to the next, one peptide to the next, one solution to the next. And they were still searching. And in Own It, it's something that we taught all the time is no, health is holistic. Health is mental, yes, physical, spiritual, emotional. It has to have a spiritual first breakdown. You have to know who God says you are first, so that right, then that can free your heart, which then can ultimately renew your mind, at only which then the habits, behaviors, and life rhythms that you implement come from a place of wholeness rather than a place of segregation. And so this we've always known, we've always taught, but every space that I went into that was supposedly talking about health, and even our new alternative medicine is still just pushing these different supplements or these different hacks. They're not treating the whole person. Right. I was like, man, there needs to be an awakening. There needs to be a wake-up call to the truth of what's happening, because there is only one form of truth, and truth comes from scripture. And that has to be the foundation that scripture and science now marry, and they agree. They never were at war with one another. In fact, the war has always been at the temple, and the temple is us, because we are the carriers of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we steward our body? How do we not aim for optimization, but aim for capacity so we can carry the calling of our life? And then how do we use our health as worship? What does that look like so that we can ultimately heal God's way?
I love that. I mean, we talk similar language, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you back on, not just because you wrote this book, but because I just love you as a human being and your heart for the Lord and your heart for people. And gosh, why am I getting teary-eyed? I do that with you sometimes. And it's the Holy Spirit, because I know that there is a movement that is needed, a wake-up call, like you said, especially within the church, for us to rise up for such a time as this. And so I know that what you're doing is changing lives. And so I'm so grateful that you have heeded to the call. I think you're right. There's so much about, you know, people are on this quick fix. Give me a GLP-1, give me a, you know, whatever, instead of actually getting to the root of the issue and digging into the reasons why they're not optimized in the first place. And so let's talk a little bit, actually, before we do that, Brandon Lake actually did a foreword for your book, which is pretty cool, right? Christian music artist, Brandon Lake. So you've worked with him, and you actually had a question to him, and I'm not going to go into the whole detail of the foreword, but that question was a powerful aha wake-up call for him. What was that question, and how did he respond?
Yeah, so Brandon and I have been on a journey together for the last, 2 years, and he's not only become just a great friend, but also just an amazing man that we do life with, and we do life together. And I don't know when this podcast comes out, but about 3-4 weeks ago, we got off tour. We ended King of Hearts tour. And when we started, I said, hey, you can do this thing that you're doing as an amateur. You can do it as a pro. And you don't actually have to die for the calling that's on your life. You can actually thrive through this thing. And we come back, and I think we think about Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, use your body as a living sacrifice. We go, oh, I have to sacrifice this thing that I'm living in order to carry out the calling that's on my life. But sacrifice in this context was just asking for obedience. And a lot of us, the obedient thing, the thing that God is calling us to, is the hard thing. It's hard to be obedient to slow down and not speed up. It's hard to be obedient and say yes to a consistent bedtime rather than a random bedtime that feels better for us, feels like it scratches an itch for us, gets rid of some anxieties that we might have. It is obedient, and it's the hard thing to actually stay at home with our families and our kids rather than going and doing that extra workout for the day, because that's the thing that makes us feel alive. And so it's coming back to understand, what are we obediently being asked to do so that that becomes our true and proper worship? That's the thing that God wants us to use to be able to give him glory, that other people are able to be pulled into that. Do not conform to the patterns of the world. Brandon was touring like every other artist was. He had the same habits, the same behaviors, the same life rhythms, but yet he was having the same outcomes, the anxiety, the depression, the overwhelm, the
exhaustion,
discomfort within his own body, the exhaustion. All of these things were normal, but yet I said, they don't have to be this way. And I said, at the end of the day, a question that I asked him, I said, do you actually want to heal? Do you want to heal? And as he sat with that question, he goes, what do you mean? And I said, if we go back to the man at Pool of Bethesda, what did Jesus say? This man's been there for 38 years.
Right, right.
Guys hasn't been able to walk.
Get up.
And the first thing he asks him is, do you want to be healed? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the narrative, the story that you've told yourself for 38 years does not exist on the other side of healing. And so you've had to beg for your money. You've had to beg for your home. You've had to beg for someone to carry you down. You've only had the idea that you have to get into the pool to be healed. You had one track mind all day long. You got your food through begging. You got the next financial gain through begging. That was what your life was about. But if you are healed, there's a cost that comes with it, because there's a new responsibility that you're expected to walk into, which is now you have to go and work for your food. Now you have to go and live in a home and find a shelter. Now you have to go and provide for others and tell others of what just happened. Is that something that you're willing to walk into, or is it not? Because if you go three verses later, he says, stop sinning.
Right.
No more, or you will get yourself in trouble. And so many of us are begging for healing, but we actually can't answer the question of, do we actually want to be healed, because we're agreeing with the old story. And so with Brandon, we had to bring a new story into the context. And knowing that the only thing that follows obedience is blessing, he's living in that blessing today. Not 3 days ago, K-Love named him Artist of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, Song of the Year. Like the trifecta. The guy is bridging, literally bridging country and CCM music. He's going tomorrow out to Nashville for a CMA Fest and leading Cowboy Church, where they're going to do baptisms in downtown Nashville. Like, this is
a
movement that he's stepping into. But hear me, like, everybody, I want you to hear this. You don't have to be a country music star or a Christian music star or have a platform of 10 million people to actually have a calling on your life. Each of you have a calling on your life, but you can't step into the true calling until you have the capacity to carry what God's put on you. And because of how you're living, you're unable to steward the only thing that was given to you in order to tend to carry the calling. And that's why this mission is so important to me. That's why this matters. Is because it's not just about Brandon Lake. It's not just about Phil Wickham. It's about every single person, every mom, every dad, every pastor, every business owner, so that we can help you see yourself as God sees you, which is fearfully and wonderfully made, something that is very good. The only thing, in fact, in this world that is very good. And I tell a story, or Brandon tells a story in the foreword, of when we were coming off of a cruise ship with Phil after launching Summer Worship Nights, and we were driving to the plane. And we looked to the left and we looked to the right. And on the left was this beautiful baby blue see-through water, calm lagoon, little bay. And on the right was this deep blue, rich, chaotic, high waves, windy ocean. And as we were driving through this, we looked at each other and we're like, how beautiful is this? This is astonishing. This is incredible. And at the moment, I literally had this epiphany and I started to cry. And I said, guys, we're in awe of this. And we're like, man, this is incredible. And God goes, no. You're incredible. You're very good. But you don't see yourself that way. The way you look at that, that's the way I look at you. Beautiful. But you have to start living differently to steward right down to the cellular level how I made you so that you can have capacity to heal, which is how I created you, but more importantly, to carry the calling that I've put on your life.
So good, Justin. So good. Oh, you just talk my language. I say that every time because that's our hearts and that's what really bonds us. I think, you know, when you also in that forward, you were talking about, or he had talked about looking at health as an act of worship, which I really talk about that too, because it changes the frame in which you see things and see yourself. And so I love that you're working with Brandon, but you're working with thousands of people and changing their lives, getting them to see who they really are and that we are created in God's image. And so, yes, there's so much more for us, but we get trapped in our sinful nature. And so I wanted to just read this sentence. It's in your very first chapter, and it's like, wow, okay, that's good. So you start off, the very first chapter is the devil's playbook, all right? You just go for it. And it says, this is the devil speaking, "I don't need to take your life to win. I only need to take your light, your peace, your joy." Mm-hmm. I mean, wow, like drop the mic, because that is exactly what's happening. And it's play by play, not all in one swoop. And so let's talk about, first of all, the reality that there is an enemy that is wanting to steal, kill, and destroy, and how it this enemy doesn't look like what we think it looks like. Like he's not coming in with a pitchfork and gonna, you know, we're not going to be doomed all in one swoop, but it's that slow, steady frog in the boiling water kind of situation. Let's talk a little bit about that, the deceptions that we are sitting in.
Yeah, I started the book this way on purpose, highly intentional.
It's your attention.
because I know this voice, quite honestly, better sometimes than I know God's voice, if I'm completely honest. And I say that only because I heard it when I was 8 years old. I knew it very in-depthly. It was the voice of the deceiver. It was the voice of the distractor. It was the voice of the liar. And I start this whole book with what I call his 7 Ds. So the 7 Ds to destruct our health, that destroy our health. We know the enemy just comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, but Jesus came so we may have life abundantly. And so what do we know about this guy? And I'll tell you the story is I was 12 years old. Between 8 and 12, I was a fat kid. Like not just like a little chunky, like I was a fat kid. And I got made fun of, I got teased, and left out of a lot of different things. And I came off the hockey rink after one game, and I went into the corner of the dressing room. I started getting undressed and the teasing started again. It was just incessant. And I heard this voice, and the voice goes, "Hey, I can make all this go away. I can make this end." And I still remember to this day saying, "Yes, anything I'm in, what do I got to do? Just take it away." And nothing happened in the moment. It wasn't like a magic wand. It's just like you ask God when you hear his voice, "Hey, I can help you." And you're like, "Yes, I'm in. I give my life to Christ." Your life doesn't change in that instance. But over the course of the next 24 years, anorexia, addiction, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, liver failure, kidney failure, burnout, precancerous polyps in my colon, and bleeding cancerous ulcers in my stomach, told I wouldn't see 35. All of these things were my journey of having the agreement with the devil, because it was a reaction and a response to how my habits and behaviors and life rhythms were aligning. And so many of us have made this same deal with the devil, that we do not need to be like destroyed in one fell swoop. No, no, he just needs us to slowly drift. Because when you're standing out in the ocean and you look purely out at that water, all of a sudden you turn around back to shore, you can't find your towel because you've been drifting so far. The current's been slowly pulling you, but you had no idea. And so when we see this and we talk through this, the enemy has 7 Ds that he works with. It's a playbook. It's so no different than how he does it every day. The first thing he does, he distracts you from God things with good things. And many of us think, "Oh, the enemy's behind every stone." No, 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 no. If he can't slow you down, my gosh, that guy's going to speed you up. He's going to put more good things in front of you, more opportunities, more things that pull you away, more things that keep you busy, more things that keep you distracted from the God thing that has to happen. And once you're distracted, he can disconnect you. He disconnects you from your family, disconnects you from yourself, disconnects you from your body, and most importantly, disconnects you from God. So you no longer hear the voice of God. All you can hear is the whisper of you're not good enough. You're not far enough along. You have to keep going. And so what does the disconnection do? It divides you. It divides you between your public you and your private you. There is this public you that displays health, that displays that you're winning, but the private you is you suffering quietly, exhaustion, burnout, not sleeping, autoimmune disorder, the bloating, the not being able to eat properly, the headaches, the brain fog, the thing, the perimenopausal symptoms, all the things that are coming up. Oh, that's just normal. And so there's the public you, the private you, which then discourages you. Man, why can't I figure this out? Why can't I do this? I've read all the books. I know all the things. I've gone to the podcast. I've done all the things that the world tells me. I've gone to the doctors, but nobody seems to be able to solve my problem. Why can't I figure this out? I've done more difficult things in my life than figure out how to run my body. But why can't I do it? And the discouragement leads to further depletion because we're like, man, maybe I just need to work harder. Maybe I just need to get up earlier. Maybe I need to just go to bed later. Maybe I need to send more emails. Maybe I need to just keep looking. Maybe I need to keep working. Maybe I need to keep praying. Maybe I need to do all these things. But ultimately, the depletion leads to disqualification because after time of doing this over and over and over again, the hope starts to leave and you go, man, maybe I just wasn't built for this. Maybe I wasn't supposed to start this business. Man, maybe I wasn't supposed to marry this person. Maybe I wasn't supposed to have these kids. Maybe I wasn't supposed to start this church. Maybe I wasn't supposed to volunteer. Maybe I wasn't supposed to do any of this and I misheard God. And the disqualification leads to the destruction of our health mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It leads us joyless, leads us hopeless, depression, and leads up crushed under Satan's foot. And you have to remember, Satan too believes in Jesus. He just doesn't follow him. And how many of us are doing the exact same thing? We believe in him, but we're not obeying him.
So powerful, Justin. Yeah. I mean, spot on. And the enemy's schemes don't change, right?
Same blueprint. Everything.
Same blueprint.
I've yet to see a circumstance.
Yeah.
Again, over the last 4 years, I've spoken to well over 1 million people. And I've always asked, hey, what's the circumstance we're under? I've yet to see a circumstance that doesn't align with that exact same pattern. It started with a distraction. Started with a distraction. Could be in your marriage, could be in your family, could be in your health, could be in your finances, could be in your business. It always starts with a distraction because that's where the ultimate deceiver can get in.
Okay, well then let's start there with distractions.
Sure.
What are you seeing that most people on average are being distracted by? Or, I mean, I know it's a blanket of answers here, but
yeah, I think
in general.
Yeah, I think it's hard to pinpoint like what the distraction is, but I'll give some examples of kind of how it might creep into your life. And so when we think about this, right, distractions are a whole bunch of misinformation. You see it in the biohacking world all the time. Well, I'm exhausted every day. My testosterone's at 200. Oh, you know what? Here, let's go and distract you and let's go and put testosterone shot. That's going to solve your problem. That's going to help get you to where you need to go. You know what? You aren't digesting food well. Here, let's go on a juice cleanse and a 30-day fast, and that's going to solve the problem. These are more distractions that are coming into our life, pulling us away from where we need to be. Social media. Hey, I know I need to go to sleep, but I'm distracted scrolling. There's a new study that just came out that said the average American scrolls the height of the Empire State Building every single day.
My word.
And wow. So you think about this in the time in which we're spending, we're completely distracting ourselves out of being able to step in, which is why when I wrote the book, Holy Health, what we started with was who you are, who God says you are. The moment you know who you are, you can move forward because we cannot build a life you love from an identity that you hate. And so who does God say you are? Once we get clear on who you are, it's only then we can step into, okay, what do you do? What habits do we have to start to walk through that God has literally laid out an outline for us. And this is where go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and those distractions have become addictions because of the chemical. For sure. Yeah, right. For so many. So it's breaking the unhealthy habits, the addictions. And that's a whole other thing that we need to tap into as well. Right?
I'll come back to that in a second, okay. Because again, there's a piece at the end of each chapter in the book that's called dopamine and dependency. Yeah. And dopamine and dependency is where the addiction forms, is where the addiction starts. And we'll see why here in a second. And so when you know what to do, the habits that come alongside of this, blueprinted out by scripture and science aligning, this is where a lot of books stop. There's a lot of great books on habits. James Clear's Atomic Habits, yeah. BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits, David Sinclair's Habits That Stick. They're all good neurological, neuroplasticity pieces that fit. However, we don't engage in rhythms because you cannot put new habits into old rhythms, which is why things become unsustainable. It's in again, science, that's called neuroplasticity. But in scripture, it's called you can't put old wine in, new wine in old wine skins.
Old wine skins, yeah.
And so you see this combating component, right? Rhythms, habits have to go in alignment. So once you know who you are, who God says you are, you can then identify what you do, what habits you need to start to instill. And then how do we establish rhythms that now are giving ourselves a place to hold the new habits? And then lastly, we get to why. What is the legacy that we're called to live? Why are we doing this? And the cool thing about God is that we don't understand our why at the beginning. Simon Sinek turned this thing upside down and gave us the ways of the world. Start with why. No. God's upside down and backwards. You end with why. Because that is the reward for ultimately doing the things obediently along the way, that you get the idea as to why. You break the generational chains. You break the generational curses. You create new opportunities for your children that you didn't have. You create a household that heals. You create a community that heals. And so who are you, what to do, how to do it, and then why is what we eventually get to. And that's how we've laid out the entire book. And that's really what we help teach, guide, and lead upon so that we can now heal God's way, where science and scripture have a collision course that finally allows us to use our health as worship.
That's so beautiful. And yes, it is a rhythm. And so speaking of rhythm, let's talk about just the ways in which, we need to get back to the basics, basically, right? The rhythm of day and night, the rhythm of, let's kind of talk about what you, I know we've talked about this before when we were talking about way back 200 episodes ago about hot HRV tips, but sure. All this is still in this book as well, and it's important. And so let's talk a little bit about the rhythms. Let's talk about what could someone do right now that's listening that's like, here's a first step I could take. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to go back to that. I want to recycle back into the addiction piece with dopamine and dependency first, and then we'll hop over to rhythms. When we think about dopamine and dependency, the thing about this, and this is wild, is our body, people say, oh, dopamine's a bad thing. Dopamine, it's a dopamine craze. No, dopamine is a neurotransmitter that was ultimately given to us to help us understand what is safe, what is good, what drives the motivating factor to go and do something. But the thing about the neurotransmitters and the way in which we receive dopamine is there's only a certain amount of dopamine that the neurotransmitters can absorb at a certain time and a certain moment. And God's creations gave us certain dopamine hits. Go and take a bite of a fresh peach. Dopamine hit. Go and have a big hug with your son or daughter. Dopamine hit. Go for a run and come home. Dopamine hit. Go wake up from a great night's sleep. Dopamine hit. Go have sex with your spouse. Dopamine hit. All of these things are meant to, again, drive us back in the positive behavioral cycle. Well, just as we tend to do as humans, we've identified this cycle. Science has made this aware. It's proven, scripture said. And so it's not give me more. What's happened is we have again programmed ourselves to get a supercharge of dopamine. So when you have sex versus when you look at pornography, there is a supercharged amount of stimulation and dopamine from pornography that suddenly overtakes what would happen through sex. And suddenly what happens is now you crave the new dopamine hit. Where do I get that? Where do I find that? Which is why you will never reach for the peach, but you'll always reach for the chocolate bar, because there's a supercharge of dopamine, which is why when all of a sudden you're sitting and watching Netflix and scrolling and the episode ends and it now has a countdown timer on when your next one starts, you're like, oh, this is awesome, because you get a supercharge of dopamine rather than getting up and going for a walk. Why? Because the dopamine hit is so high that now the receptor sites of now getting this normal piece, it's like, oh my gosh, that doesn't feel like it's even adequate anymore. That doesn't feel like it's good enough. So your dependence no longer goes on to God, but your dependence becomes on the worldly thing. And that's where addictions start. Sex, drugs, alcohol, social media, you name it. It has all been arranged, designed, and created with that level of scientific manipulation based on the scriptural backing of how we were created and made.
So many people know this about addictions, but yet they still stay stuck in that place, and they don't necessarily know how to get out, or they, you know, it's painful for them. They don't necessarily love that about themselves, but they justify it. Or they, so maybe before we go, because I know you've got about 15, 20 minutes here, let's just talk a little bit about what does someone do, first steps to break the cycle of the addiction, of that supercharged dopamine hit?
Well, it's firstly not, hey, let's just take it out of our life and let's just do willpower to get rid of it. We know that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It comes back to healing your identity. You have to heal the heart. Yeah. You have it, most people are like, "Hey, I want to heal. I want to get better." Do you really?
Do the work. Yeah.
Just going to ask you, do you really? Because on the other side of healing, there's something that you may not be willing to do. That is your sacrifice. That is your holy and pleasing, that is your true and proper worship. That is the thing of using your body as a living sacrifice, doing the obedient thing. Do you really want to heal? Do you really want to get rid of this? Because there's a sense of pleasure that comes from it. There's a sense of satisfaction that comes from it for the moment. And until you're willing to go back and free the hearts, I've got five hearts I talk about, five archetypes that exist in here that imprison the heart. Again, we know we have to guard our heart, for that is the wellspring of life. All things flow from it. From the mouth, the heart speaks. And so this is where we're able to see what truly has your heart. And there's five things that are always tied back to the identity that we have. And because we want to go from a physical body aid first, which is what the world teaches us, not a biblical scriptural connection with God first, we have to flip that upside down on its head. So how do we heal one of the hearts? It's a performance heart. My value is what I do and what I accomplish. Mm-hmm. Number two, it comes from my pleaser heart. I have to say yes to everybody. Everybody else has to be satisfied and looked after, and I'm the last. And thus, if that's the way it is, then I ultimately get it from some other place. A protector heart, which is, hey, I have to protect myself. I've been hurt in the past. I've tried in the past. I've failed in the past. Now I have to protect myself. I'm just going to give in, just keep doing it. There is a pessimistic heart, which comes from the standpoint of, I'm never going to be able to figure this out. I'm never going to be able to go about this. Victimizing, sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then there's the perfecter heart. I have to be perfect. I cannot make a mistake. Everything has to be in order and perfect alignment. And so the way in which I deal with not being good enough, by when something isn't good enough, I go back to that thing that gives me the dopamine hit to say I'm worth it, to say I'm good enough, just for the moment, even though I feel bad after. And so it's not just about eliminating the thing that we're doing. Yeah, you know what? If you're an alcoholic, don't put alcohol in the house. That's a great start. But we have to heal the heart.
Getting to the heart of the issue. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You have a pornography addiction. Hey, you know what? Great. Don't put your phone next to your bed. Don't put your computer on there. Put certain tabs on so that it blocks certain websites. Those are all good things, but we have to heal the heart.
Heal the heart.
A fast food addiction. Great. Yeah, you know what? Don't carry credit cards with you. Don't use Apple Pay so you can't go and stop at those places. Don't buy the food. Only shop the perimeter of the grocery store. We know all those things, but you have to heal the heart, because until that's done, all your addictions will do is they will start to jump. And I did that. I had this performance heart. I had the pleaser heart for so long. And ultimately what happened was my addictions jumped from food Then it jumped to work. Then it jumped to promiscuity. Then it jumped over to validating through business. Then it jumped to all of these different areas that ultimately led to burnout, precancerous polyps, and a diagnosis that I wouldn't see 35. This is the routine and rhythm we get into. And until we're able to take it back and heal the heart, live in alignment with how God called us, with habits, behaviors, and rhythms, we cannot gain the promise of life and life abundantly. I say your pain turns into a purpose, but beyond the purpose becomes the promise. And if we want to get there, we have to surrender and walk in alignment with that. But that's where the work comes in, and that is your living sacrifice.
That's so it. That's it. It's all about the heart. And I think about if people really understood what's on the other side of that breakthrough, on the other side of that healed heart, they would do anything to do the hard tears that may come out during the heart work. You know, because you've lived it, I've lived it. Those that have lived it, we want that for others. And so it's so much more than just the physical. You're right. It starts first and foremost at the identity, at the heart. But we also need to work on our heart, the physical muscle itself, and our physical well-being as well. And you talk about that in the book. So we have to heal the heart, and there's steps in doing that. And it's really about surrender, forgiveness, all the things that we get to choose to go through so that we can be on the other side of health and healing. But then there's the part of, okay, let's put this stuff into action. And that is what you're really gifted at as well, is showing people how to understand their heart rate variability, understand how their habits, whether it's their wake up time, their sleep patterns are misaligned, or their nutrition habits, all of that has to come together as well, right? But it does start with the heart. And so after that, let's go with the heart with HRV and kind of talk around the physical aspect.
Yeah, so I think we've confused it for so long, and people are like, oh, you know, you need, it starts in the gut. You need to do the gut healing protocol. Oh, it starts in the brain. You got to heal the brain, guys.
Get rid of the parasites.
Let's simplify it. God created us from a cell. There are 30 trillion cells inside of you, me, and every single person listening. Your body was created out of these 30 trillion cells that are synergistically working together to make your body function. Every 84 days, 500 million of those cells become completely brand new. That means that every 5 to 7 years, you, me, and everybody listening become a completely brand new cellular human being. I don't care if you're 5, 55, 105 years old. That is true. And so are those new cells coming into a toxic environment, or are they coming into an environment that is ready to heal and ready to move forward?
Yeah.
Are they able to thrive? Mm-hmm. And so when we think about this, we think about the way in which these cells function. That's what every habit, what every behavior has to be arranged with. Now, yes, there is personalization that comes along with this. This is why we work with people on an individual basis through Own It. And when we walk you through with Holy Health, we do the same thing. But being able to understand how do we do this well, we can come back to scripture. And I'll give you some kind of very bare bones basics that we can start with to kind of bring this back to truth. And so we think about these rhythms. And most of us think our day starts in the morning when we wake up and it ends when we go to bed. Awesome. I'm going to wake up and I'm exhausted and I go to bed even more exhausted and I fall in there. Well, scripture says evening came, morning came, first day. Repeated that 6 times. So actually your days start in the evening and they are completed 24 hours after that. Evening came, morning came, evening came, morning came. And so your evenings now have to become sacred. But so many of us are running around with sports with our kids, staying up until midnight, getting our last minute work done, pushing, driving, striving, doing everything we can. And we fall into bed exhausted and we wake up even more depleted in the morning and we wonder why. So the moment that we come in and we create a sacred time at night, again, in Genesis, it says the sun, the moon, and the stars were put forth to create sacred times.
Good.
The evening is sacred. What choices And what rhythms and what habits are you establishing in your evening to make sure that you can do the thing that is most important, which is sleep? Because there is something in our body called the glymphatic system. And the glymphatic system is what it literally becomes like the street sweeper for our cells. And it pulls all the toxins from our brain, the beta amyloids and tau proteins that were eliminated. It grabs all the toxins from your liver, from your pancreas, from your kidneys. And it goes and puts them at the different places that we will eliminate them. We can only eliminate toxins four ways: breath, sweat, stool, and urine. And so the glymphatic system is responsible for getting all those toxins to the place in which they can get eliminated. Now, here's the crazy part. The glymphatic system is like a light switch and only turns on during our deepest sleep stages. So many of us are not abiding by a sacred evening, which is when our day starts. We were told and we were commanded to start our week in Sabbath, which many of us don't do. We'll get to that in a second. But we've even been commanded and told to start our day in Sabbath. Your day starts in preparation in the evening so you can sleep, get detoxified, wake up with energy, clarity, and focus in the morning. So now you can go and serve and pour out.
Yeah, just this one rhythm. For our own good and for his glory. Yeah, absolutely.
Just this one rhythm is transformative for inflammation in your body, for brain fog, for inability to digest food, for bloat, for all these things. Because why? We're healing the cell. Yes. Yeah. Do we have to go and do other things maybe on top of it for certain situations? Yes. Do we get to dive deeper into some testing? Yes. Do we get to align science to this? Yes. Do we get to do other things? Yes, 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 and yes. But don't you dare go and apply science and forget scripture on the back end and suddenly go, well, this just isn't working for me. And so this is where we can come back to the rhythms that matter so that we can actually start to see God's healing. And that is just one of the 80 rhythms that we can talk through that start to give this new breakdown of what actually happens and what is meaningful.
Right. And you have been given this for a while, but the 3-2-1 method of keeping your evening sacred, right? And what is that? It's 3 hours before bed, you don't eat. Is that correct?
Yeah, three hours before bed, no food. And again, these are habits that, again, yes, fit into the rhythm, right? So I want people to see this. You might say, I'm going to say the 3-2-1 rule here in a second, but you might be like, oh, you know what? The 3-2-1 rule, that's a great habit I'm going to start to implement. Well, if your evenings are chaotic, if you're in and out of sporting events all night, if you're going and you don't have a regular bedtime for you nor your kids,
regulating your parasympathetic nervous system,
you are not going to be able to implement these habits, and thus you're going to give up on the habit. But it wasn't the habit's problem, it was the rhythm's problem to start with. And this is what I talk about. You can't put new wine into old wine skins. You have to change in order to find change there. And so 3 hours before bed, no food. Why? You have 400 times more melatonin produced in your gut than is produced by the pineal gland in your brain. Melatonin is imperative for us to get into the deep sleep stages that thus turn on the glymphatic system, that thus shuttle all the toxins to the places to be eliminated in the morning. So if you don't get into those deep sleep stages, the glymphatic system doesn't turn on and you actually don't detoxify, you just recycle. So you walk around a toxic cellular human being, which means that at the cellular level, you're starting to decay. And over time, you see issues like autoimmune, you see issues like brain fog, you see issues like cancer, you see issues like diabetes, you see issues like weight gain, you see issues like early onset perimenopausal symptoms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was just the first one. No eating 3 hours before bed. 2 hours before bed, no work. We eliminate all heavy decision-making. Mental, physical, spiritual, emotional stress. Body does not know the difference. And so if we don't set a boundary, then all of a sudden what happens is cortisol rises, melatonin drops, and we don't get into those deep sleep stages. And then lastly, 1 hour before bed, no blue light. We know that for every 30 minutes of blue light exposure after the sun sets, it eliminates or stops melatonin production for up to 60 minutes. So again, there's no way for us to get into those deep sleep stages to allow the glymphatic system to activate, to get us detoxifying at the level that is required in order for our body to do what it was created to do naturally. This is where habits and rhythms have to be married together. And we don't start with habits, we start with rhythms. Because if we don't start with a rhythm, a dysfunctional rhythm cannot hold a new habit, just like a new habit cannot fit into a dysfunctional rhythm. And so we have to make sure that they are married, that they are synergistic, symbiotic, new wine skins, doing it together holistically in alignment with what God has called us to. And this is how we use our health as worship.
That's so good. And yeah, and recognizing that you are not living your life in a healthy rhythm. I mean, first of all, it takes recognition and ownership, right? Own it, like you talked about, own it. Exactly. And realize what kind of life you're living and is this how I want to live the rest of my life? So I love that you guys are just, I mean, you've got staff of, I mean, you've got 50 people working with Own It now, and y'all are helping thousands and thousands of people. And it's getting them back to the basics, really, of, I mean, in an intentional way and scientifically as well, but getting back to the basics of how to care for the temple that houses the Holy Spirit. And so I love what you guys are doing. You know, the biggest thing about, I think, what I've learned with my patients is there's a resistance sometimes, because while people don't want to be in pain, pain is comfortable for them because it's what they know, right? And so what would you say to the person that has been dealing with a lot of pain, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually? What would you say to them to get out of that comfort, if you will, of pain and get on the track that really God created them to be in?
The only thing that follows obedience is blessing. The only thing that follows obedience is blessing. And God didn't do, or I guess if Jesus didn't do what he did on the cross so that you would live a life less than what he promised. And so many of us just are wanting to stay stuck, and being stuck is not noble. Being stuck is not what you're called to. And using your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, use your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That is not for you to die for your calling. That is not for you to wear whatever it is that you're wearing as noble, or as this is my way in which I'm suffering. That was never the call on your life. The thing in which he's calling you to in sacrifice is obedience. And the obedient thing is the hard thing, the thing that you're avoiding. And so how do we step into that knowing full well that we are going to have dependency on him? And I guarantee you, the other side of obedience, the only thing that exists there is blessing.
I love that so much. Like, drop the mic on that, because that's powerful. And so, yes, on the other side of obedience is blessing. Well, Justin, I just pray blessing over you and Elisa's life. And I know you're already blessed abundantly, but I just continue to pray blessings over you guys, because you're doing the hard work. To allow others to do their hard work, to become overcomers and become all that the God has called them to be. And so thank you again for heeding to the call. Thank you for writing your book. Those of you that are hearing this podcast right now, go to holyhealthbook.com to get Holy Health and its habits and rhythms to heal your body and transform your health. So congratulations on this new book and all that you're doing, Justin. I just adore you guys, and we hope to see you soon. Thanks
thank
for
you
the
so
interview.
Much, Wendy. Appreciate you.
Take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.